St. Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is our text. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Boast in my infirmities. When I am weak, then I am strong. The Apostle Paul speaks in some incongruous and contradictory terms. Oxymorons, they can be called. In the sixth chapter of this same letter, Paul has a long string of statements like that. We commend ourselves as ministers of God, as unknown yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, and chastened, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. And the words we have in our lesson this morning are similar to that. God says to Paul, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And Paul's response, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." And of course, all of this echoes the way that the Apostle Paul spoke in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men." And so you recognize that as theology of the cross language. Now, what is this oxymoron expression that Paul gives us in this lesson? At the beginning of this chapter, St. Paul had referred to the experience that he had had of being taken up to heaven, whether in a body or in a vision, he doesn't know. And in order to keep him from being puffed up with pride because of this great and wonderful experience, the Apostle Paul says that God has given him a thorn in the flesh, which might be interpreted as a painful physical ailment, or as persecutions, or a severe moral temptation. The purpose of it, however, is clear: to keep Paul from being puffed up with pride. He says that he has pleaded with the Lord three times to remove this thorn in the flesh. God answered Paul's prayer with a very clear answer: no. "My grace is sufficient for you," God says. "My grace is all you need, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My power is strongest when you are weak." Now, can you imagine being satisfied with an answer like that if it came from anyone other than God himself? We might ask, do we need an answer like that from God? Well, maybe not, we might suppose. After all, Paul has reported his experience or his vision of paradise, and we haven't had such an experience. Oh, haven't we? We most certainly have had such an experience. Every time that you have heard the gospel and believed it, every time that you have heard and believed the promise from God's own mouth that your sins are forgiven, every time you contemplate the proclamation of John in the book of Revelation, in his experience of paradise, there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There you have been taken up into the highest glory. In that, we are no different from St. Paul. In Christ, we already have experienced the greatest blessing that God has to give. All things are yours, St. Paul can preach. Now, of course, we know what kind of pride Christians can experience. We feel it every day. What a great blessing we have, which all those other poor folks don't have. Our lives are so much better off, and we as Christians are so much more moral than those unbelievers, and so on and so forth, and off we go into our own flight of self-righteousness. But in that, we have forgotten that we live purely by God's grace, not by our own strength. And then God's law comes to us in order to knock us about a bit. It knocks us about by reminding us that our righteousness is not by our own goodness, that we have not raised ourselves up to meet Him part way, that we have not moved ourselves toward Him, but are always moving away from Him, but that He has picked us up and drawn Him to us, Himself to us. And that is Paul's point. Only when we realize how weak and helpless we are, only then do we really see God's grace in its magnitude. David knew that when he wrote in the 51st Psalm, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." God's grace is sufficient. We stand alone on His strength and not on our own. As a child, the church where I was baptized in North Dakota had a picture on the altar of Peter, who, after walking on the water, was now sinking into it. I carried that picture around in my head for many years, but it turned out that I had an inaccurate memory of that picture. I thought that the picture had Peter hanging on to Jesus. Quite a few years later, however, I was pastor of that congregation for a time, and so I had to look at that altar painting every single Sunday as I conducted the service. And slowly, quite a bit too slowly, it dawned on me that I had remembered it just exactly wrong. Jesus was hanging on to Peter. It was Jesus' work pulling Peter out of the water when he was in trouble. It was not Peter's work. And Paul's experience here is the same. And he understands that it is not he that hangs on to God's promise, but that God hangs on to him continuously in his promise, and that Paul lives only by God's grace. Remember that God now hangs on to you in your weakness, day in and day out. Believe that, thank him that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Amen.